I'm Rose Scott. Jim, Stateline, it's a project of the Pew Charitable Trust. Well, they released its 2015 Legislative Review Series today. Now, what this does, it highlights the issues that dominated debate among state lawmakers, not just here in Georgia, but across the nation. It chronicled their issues or challenges that each state's faced this year. We're joining us from Stateline is the editor, Jeffrey Stinson, and he joins us from the NPR studios in Washington. Jeff, thanks for taking the time.
Good morning, Rose. Thank you.
Well, listen, Jeff, transportation funding was a big issue among many states, including here in Georgia. You all stated that Georgia sort of stood out in this area, but the study suggests that inaction at the federal level forced states to take matters into their own hands. What kind of action did they do here?
Well, that is a big problem for the states, because the nation's Highway Trust Fund, which every motorist across the country pays for through an 18.4 cents a gallon federal gasoline tax, is running out of money. And Congress cannot agree on how to fund it. And there's a reluctance here in D.C. to increase the gasoline tax, which hasn't been raised since 1993. So that's posing a big problem for the states, because traditionally, the federal Highway Trust Fund has paid 60 to 80% of highway construction and reconstruction and repair costs. So in the absence of action here in Congress, states are stepping in, Georgia being among them. Georgia being among 8 to 9 states that stepped in and says, we're going to have to raise the money ourselves. And so it did so, with the gasoline tax going up 6.7 cents and imposing fees on electric cars and on trucks and a hotel motel tax, with the argument being that we need solid roads and bridges for commerce and jobs.
Well, we can both tell you that here in Georgia, that electric car fee did not go over well with many consumers. But, Jeff, I want to go back to this. The Recovery and Reinvestment Act, that was meant to sort of bolster jobs with these type of, I guess, infrastructure projects.
Rose, that's true.
Okay. So, but for many states, lawmakers run a quandary, because when it comes to raising taxes, yes, it's an option, but it's not a popular one, especially for taxpayers.
Well, and that was especially true in Georgia and 5 other states that are dominated by the Republican Party, both in the governor's office and in the legislature. And many of these lawmakers have taken a no-tax or a no-tax increase pledge, and they've had to sit there and say, wait a second, this is such a pressing issue, we think we're going to renege on that pledge to go ahead and raise taxes.
Stateline found that labor issues were another hot topic, especially legislation to prevent workers from being forced to pay union dues or changing wage laws. So what states were affected by this, and how really did things change?
Well, this is, again, and this is a reflection in many ways of the dominance of Republican governors and lawmakers. Republicans now control state houses more so than they have really since the Great Depression, before the Great Depression. And so part of their thinking is that right-to-work laws are more pro-market, and that states also ought to repeal prevailing wage laws, many of which came about during the 1930s, and which say that when you build public buildings or public facilities, then the wage that you ought to pay is the prevailing wage that's paid in trade unions and everything for private projects. And the argument is that that costs taxpayers extra money and should be done away with. So we've seen that across several states being fought out this year. So far, Missouri has enacted a right-to-work law. Also has Wisconsin. And their prevailing wage is being fought out. West Virginia repealed its prevailing wage law. It's being fought out in Michigan right now. So a number of states are dealing with this.
Jeffrey Stinson, editor of Stateline, is our guest. We're talking about the 2015 Legislative Review Series. I want to talk, Jeff, about Medicaid. Here in Georgia, the Medicaid expansion remains a hot topic issue, and it really is mostly divided down party lines. As of right now, we believe it will not happen, but 5 states considered Medicaid expansion this year. Only Montana was able to see it through. So what changed in the mindsets of legislatures there?
Well, what it is it's really a problem for the states, and it's felt in Georgia as well as Montana, because what happens is people without health insurance go into hospitals, they seek emergency care, and so hospitals need to be compensated for this. And the federal government has traditionally had money to help reimburse hospitals for this care, but the Obama administration now says that it's going to start cutting back on that money, especially in states that did not expand Medicaid. So Georgia is one of those states. And in Georgia, the governor initially said he'd look at it, but mm-hmm. took a look at it and says can't afford it, because the federal government will sit there and pay for the first 100% to expand Medicaid to cover adults who are low income and just above poverty levels. And they'll do that for the first 2 years. But after that, states increasingly have to pick up a share of the cost.
And I understand that's no more than 90%. Is that correct? I mean, federal government will pay no less than 90%.
Exactly. And Governor Deal says, you know, that's still not a great deal. But many hospitals, especially rural ones in Georgia, say they cannot afford to not have Medicaid expansion, especially if they're no longer going to be compensated. And the worry is that they'll go out of business. Now, Montana decided the best option was to expand Medicaid to make sure that people do have health insurance and you're not having uncompensated care at hospitals, or which also can raise insurance premiums for people with their own private health care insurance.
Well, and Jeff, that's interesting, because I would think with Montana, that's probably a state that probably has a lot of rural community clinics or hospitals, and one would argue, well, if that's the case, or maybe those hospitals and clinics aren't feeling the same plight as, let's say, here in Georgia, because hospitals and clinics in the rural part of Georgia, they have their own plight.
Yes, they do, and I know that a number of hospitals rural hospitals in Georgia say that they can't afford to take care of these people if they're not compensated in some way, shape, or form.
So let me put you on the spot. Looking ahead, do you think that there's going to be enough pressure down the road that Georgia will also follow Montana's lead?
You know, it's going to be very interesting now that the Supreme Court has upheld subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, and whether that is going to increase pressure on states to go ahead and expand Medicaid. It's also going to be interesting. Georgia, for instance, I know that the administration, Governor Deal's administration, has sought waivers so that they can continue to get federal funds to help reimburse hospitals. So this is sort of a two-pronged pressure on states like Georgia and 20-some others that chose not to expand Medicaid.
Jeff, one of the other issues that you all took a look at was obviously focusing on the middle class. And I'm curious in terms of what are the top concerns and in which state had the best, I guess in your opinion, or the worst policies as it played out for the middle class, which is a population that, depending on who you ask, will tell you we're doing great or we're not doing so great.
Well, now, there's an awful lot of rhetoric this year in state capitals, as there is in Washington, about income inequality, stagnant wages, a shrinking middle class, and the pressures that working families especially are under. In California, on July 1, they implemented a law in which there will be paid sick leave for people who've been on the job at least 90 days or so. That paid sick leave, paid family leave, these issues are coming up increasingly in a number of states. They aren't gaining as much traction. And part of it is because states still feel a big fiscal pinch, as they have since the Great Recession. There at least six states went into overtime or went right up against their fiscal year budget deadlines of July 1 to get their state budgets in order, because they didn't have the tax revenue, or they couldn't cut spending sufficiently, or couldn't agree on both. And so there's still a financial pinch on the states. And that is stepping in some ways to constrain expanding some programs for working people. Some states have earned income tax credits. Michigan, which like Georgia and other states, is facing big road repair problems, was looking to doing away with its state earned income tax credit in order to help pay for highways. So these are the quandaries that are being fought out in state, or that state lawmakers face, and issues that are being fought out in state capitals around the country. And the themes are pretty much universal. It puts more pressure in many ways on Republicans because they have such a strong majority in the states.
And Jeff, we're up against time here, but real quickly, your thoughts, because all those states are grappling with the whole issue of the middle income and income equality, but presidential candidates have obviously been using it a lot in their, I guess, sort of campaigning. It's a state issue, but is there anything federally that can be done to help the middle class or help improve that income equality?
Well, there are a slew of bills in the Congress, and everybody has their different tax plans or their benefit programs or proposals to expand and provide and require paid sick leave or paid family leave. But again, as I had mentioned from the get-go, Washington's gridlocked, and it's unable to address many of these pressing problems, not just what it's going to do about highways, but what it's going to do about a number of other issues, just because they're gridlocked states, because they are faced with them, face up to the issues a little bit more.
All right. Jeffrey Stinson is the editor of Stateline. He joined us from NPR Studios in Washington. Jeffrey, we appreciate you taking the time. We'll look for more on that report. It's called A Project of the Pew Charitable Trust. It's called Stateline. It's the 2015 Legislative Review Series. Jeff, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Rose, Jim, thank you.